Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Good morning. Hey, you guys, I want to let you know something that happened last service. So last service, you weren't here. You might have been serving, some of you maybe. We had some technical difficulties. Zach, he's running sound, overseeing this whole ministry now. It was stressful for him, right, Zach? But you know what happens? Anytime there's something stressful, that means God's moving. Six people gave their lives to the Lord last service. Okay? Six people were set free from a life that they were in bondage in. Six people have a new father, have a life that will be changed. That happened. So when the sound, you come in, you're like, man, what is going on? Is there like feedback? Just know that we just say, not today, Satan. Not today. Because I know Zach was stressing, right? A little bit. I was stressing too, I'm not going to lie. I was like, what in the world is wrong with the sound? But I found out it was really just Josh's fault. So just our worship leader's fault. All jokes. But hey, this morning, as Austin shared, we have a guest with us. Arms of Love is here. And Debbie, would you please come up and join me up on the stage and share with us. I don't have your mic. It's right here. Hey, Laramie, will you hand me that? Oh, thanks, Josh. Josh, you just redeemed yourself. Good job. So this is Debbie with Arms of Love. Would you guys please welcome up Debbie again? And Debbie, will you share with us why you're here and, just everything that's going on.
Okay. Well, the main reason I am here, if you passed through the entrance, you saw boxes and boxes and boxes of donuts. And we're here to say thank you. And sometimes sugar is the best way to say thank you. But honestly, we want to just tell you what a difference you've made in families and children's lives. Since 2014, City View has been characterized by two words: we will. And those two words have blessed countless families and children throughout the last 4 years. One of the things that you have said is, we will give. Over and over again, whenever there's been a need, you have given financially, you have given materially, meaning actual items, and you have given supplies. So we have had, two or three times a year, we have special events for our foster families and children. Every single time we have an event, it costs money. And your church has said, what do you need? How can we help? And you've made those events happen. You've provided school supplies so that every year we can fill backpacks and we can give school supplies. You have provided decorations for our events. You've provided food for our events. You've done things like donated bounce houses so that our kids have something memorable and fun to look forward to and to remember and to come back to the next year. You have also sent people. You have said, we will serve. And every year, you have sent hundreds of volunteers. At this count, it's over 300 volunteers that you have sent to us. Because of you, families who come to our events feel safe. They know quality care is going to be there. They don't worry about somebody hurting their children who have already been hurt enough. Not only that, but our licensing specialists get to interact with their families. They get to spend time getting to know their families and the children on a more personal level because you all are volunteering to do, the background work, so they don't have to do that. The other thing is you have provided enormously in a way that no one else has, and that provision has been Bibles. Every single child who is either adopted or reunified with their family gets a Bible. Those Bibles are changing lives. And I want to tell you a story about one specific 4-year-old who recently was reunified with her dad. And the family had been taking her to church and talking to her about Jesus and praying for her. And so in her little mind, she's already saying, Jesus loves me. He's my best friend. He will never leave me. But the day before she was reunified with her dad, her licensing specialist went over, and the little girl sat on her lap as she gave her her very own Bible that for the first time she got to hold a Bible. And she looked at a picture of Jesus, and she said, he's my hero. He won't let the bad guys get me because he will never leave me, and he will always protect me. We got to send a child home with that truth and that knowledge, and we get to do that over and over again. Last year, we had 102 children who were adopted through Arms of Love Foster Care. Every single one of those children got their own Bible. And you know as well as I do, the Word of God will not return void. We don't know what's going to happen next, but we know that in each one of those families, there is at least one Bible. God will do the rest, and we trust that. And the last thing, and probably the most important thing you have done, is you said, we will pray. You have prayed, and God has answered in some amazing ways. Last year, we had 102 first-time salvations throughout the ministry of Arizona Baptist Children's Services. Since January of this year, we've already had 26 first-time salvations. So God is moving in some amazing, amazing ways. I also want to tell you, as you are doing such amazing work, as your hearts are so geared towards service and making a difference in the lives of families and children, our work is not done. The last time I was on this stage, I told you there were 21,000 kids in care. Well, I'm really excited to say now there's 14,000. But honestly, 14,000 kids in care. We have a lot of work to do still, and God is faithful, and he will continue to provide. So as I'm here and I'm asking you for one more thing, I'm asking you to keep praying for families to keep coming, families who know the Lord and love him and feel called to this ministry. We need more homes for these children so that we can give more Bibles and lead more children to the Lord and make an impact in families' lives. But we also need families who just say, I don't feel called to foster, but I want to help. I want to do something. If either of those things are in your heart today, we would love to talk to you more at our table afterwards. Or if you are thinking, I need to know the next steps, we're having a meeting on Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. at Cross Church at 19th Avenue and Grover's. We would love to see you there, and we can help you. Whatever the next step is that you feel called to do, we can help you do it. But today, I just want to tell you, you have made a difference in our lives at Arms of Love. More importantly, you have made a difference and you've had an impact on families and children's lives. And I can never thank you enough for that impact.
Thank you so much, Debbie. So, as you guys heard, and maybe some of you didn't hear, but this morning, every bit of money that goes into the offering basket this morning, we are giving to Arms of Love. By the end of service, so you guys will find out, and I will be able to give you a gift by the end of this service and let you know how much you guys gave. So if you still want to give this morning, you don't give online because that just gets way complicated for us. You can give online regularly, but for this morning, we're asking that if you want to give a special gift that we're going to give to Arms of Love, you can go take out cash right now. You're more than welcome. I brought cash this morning, so I could do that, give to a ministry that we fully believe in what they're doing to change kids' lives. It's for so many times, when you work with kids, you see so much hurt and pain, and you just wonder, and you do it because it's not how you feel, but you know you're making an impact. And we love their heart and for what they're doing. And thank you guys so much for all that you do for these kids in our city that we love so much here at City View. So I want to pray for you and your ministry. And then you guys, I can't wait to share with you guys what we get to give at the end of the service. So if you forgot or you didn't, you could still do that. We have a little offering thing right outside the door. You can still do that. But let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Debbie. Lord, for the ministry of Arms of Love, for the kids, Lord, that you are allowing them to impact. And Lord, there's a lot of work left to do. There's a lot of kids that still need loving homes. But Lord, you do things that are beyond our understanding. Lord, you part waters. Lord, you make the sun stand still. Lord, you created the heavens and the earth. And Lord, you love each and every one of these children. So Lord, I pray that if you're stirring in our hearts, Lord, to do something, Lord, that we would take that step of faith, that you would give Arms of Love the wisdom and the guidance, Lord, as they seek what you desire to do and how you desire them to do it. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we ask your blessings upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Debbie. Thank you so much for coming. So, man, that is awesome. You know what's so cool? So I planned my series, my teaching series out. And this one, The Art of Living, I planned it about a year ago. Came up with the idea. Couldn't tell you how I did. I mean, of course, the Lord. But, like, I don't know. You just sort of, I don't really know how the idea, the thought, the art I didn't do. I'm not an artist. So I came up with it a year ago. And then so a few months ago, I started putting together, okay, I know we're going to go through Romans chapter 8. That's the plan. Romans 8, that's where we're going to be for this series, Romans 8. So then about 3 months ago, I started putting, okay, when am I going to teach what part of the chapter? So I started working that in, and I sent a text to the person who created this. This is what I want each one. Today's idea, today's part of Romans is a part that God says you are adopted as God's children. Is that a coincidence? No, because there is no coincidence with God. It is only God saying, hey, I know this is going to happen on May 20th. And so to show you how in this I am, how much I want to see the world change, and how much I love taking people in to my family, Jeremiah, I'm going to plan out that you're going to be in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17 on May 20th, that you don't even know Arms of Love is going to say, hey, can we bring donuts from Lamar's? I mean, is there any other donut place in the world? No, because God does that. God is amazing. And so it's just cool to see how all of that works out. You never know. Some of you are like, God, what are you doing? God's working. What God's doing today might be 4 or 3 months from now. You just got to be faithful in today. And God will, he's got your tomorrow. You just be faithful in your today. So, you know, I was looking at, putting this message together, I was trying to think, okay, how can I look at, I'm trying to look at my life and think of how my life works in this. And I remember as a kid, I tried out for basketball. I thought I had skills. You see, in the driveway of my parents' house, I had really mad basketball skills. I thought I was really good. And I thought I had a great shot. So I, eighth grade year, I went and I tried out for the eighth grade basketball team. Sometimes I wonder if it's one of those things that my parents should have just told me, hey, you know what, son, you talk a lot. So maybe you should be in like speech or like a class where you get to argue with people because you argue with us a lot. Like, maybe you should do that. Like, you're really good. Basketball, you know, sort of when you watch American Idol and you have those people that really should never be on American Idol. I really wonder if that was me trying out for basketball. But my parents, you know, parents have to say, hey, you know what? You go and you try. You try it. And it's okay if you fail. We still love you. But so I go and I try out for the basketball team. I make it past the first cut. Because if you can at least shoot a basketball, you can make it past the first cut. Made it past the second cut. Third cut came, and I walk into the locker room. If you ever remember junior high locker rooms, it's a scary place, junior high locker room. And I remember walking into the locker room, and on the coach's sort of glass window, you see the sign of everybody who made the second cut. My name wasn't there. And I just remember being so sad. I remember feeling like I had let my dad down. I remember feeling like I had I was totally humbled before my team and the coaches. And I was worried that, what would my dad think? You see, in my parents' home, my dad had this saying that everywhere you go, you carry the similar name. And I thought, am I tainting the Semler name by not making the basketball team? And I had this burden that was never meant for me to carry. I was worried that I had let down the Semler name, but in reality, I didn't. Because you see, basketball had nothing to do with the Semler name. My character did. Not basketball. But you see, we tend to put these pressures on ourselves that should never be on us. We put these burdens and these things, these obligations on ourselves that are not meant for us. You see, my dad loved me because I was his kid. He was proud of me because I was his kid. It had nothing to do with the sport I played. Nothing. My dad, of course, he wanted me to make the team because what dad doesn't? But his love never changed for me if I didn't. His love didn't hinge on whether or not I became a star. His love hinged on his love for me. And that was it. You see, but we tend to forget that sometimes. You see, I had forgotten. I had forgotten that, and I had been embarrassed. And I was ashamed to tell my dad I didn't make the team. We do the same thing in our own lives. We put burdens and things on ourselves that God never put on us. So how can we live now? Like we have a Father in heaven that loves us. No matter what. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for this morning. God, I thank you that you love us, that you care for us, Lord, that you find joy in calling us your children. So, Lord, I ask, God, that you'd speak to us this morning. God, I ask that you'd speak to your people at churches all over the valley. I think of Andrew at Cross Church this morning, Lord, and Jackie at Cross Church. And God, I think of Mark at Calvary. I think of Ryan over at North Valley, Lord. Preston over at Gateway, Lord. God, I just ask that you'd bless churches in the valley. Lord, because you move through the church. You move through the local body of the church. The church is the hope of the world. Lord, you have made the church. The church is all about you to share your glory. And so, Lord, I ask that you'd move through your church to bring about revival. Lord, that we would be your hands and feet, that we would allow our voice to be used for your glory, God. Lord, I ask that you'd speak to us this morning in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, picking up in verse 12. We're going to be looking at verses 12 and 13 first off. And I'm reading out of the New Living, and it says this. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. Paul says, therefore. You see, anytime you see that word, you've got to know, okay, why is it there? What's the purpose of it? What is he wanting us to remember? You know, if you guys are anything like me, I forget things. You guys forget things? This morning, somebody said I was in here, somebody said, Jeremiah, Debbie needs to go talk to you. So I'm like, okay, I will go talk to Debbie. I seriously was at the entrance of the theater, and I just had to walk to where the donuts are, right out there at their table. It's not that far. But in a matter of that door to the walkway, I got stopped probably by 5 people. I'm standing 10 feet away from Debbie, and I'm going, what am I here for? What do I need to do right now? Seriously, like my wife, to ask her, the struggle is real. It's her life every day. I will stand there in the middle of the kitchen. I'm like, honey, what was I doing? She's like, I have no clue. Or she'll be like, I told you to go get milk out of the fridge. Oh. That's right. You told me like 1 second ago. So Paul says, okay, therefore, remember what I just said. Therefore, here's what Paul just said. Since we are not condemned, therefore, since you are not condemned, he said that in verse 1, you are not condemned. God is not holding condemnation over you anymore. Therefore, since you are free from your flesh, since your flesh has been killed, since you are no longer a slave to that flesh, therefore, that's what that therefore is there for. Since you have a new mindset, that's what that therefore is there for, reminding us of this new mindset, this new way of thinking that we have. Since we have the Holy Spirit giving us power to live the life that God has called us to live, that's what that therefore is therefore, right there in verse 12, he says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. But man, if you're anything like me, I feel the pressure to do what my sinful nature wants me to do every single day. It guilts me into doing things I shouldn't do. It reminds me of the life I used to live. It pressures me. It's haunting me. Its voice is constantly inside my head telling me who I'm not, how I will never live up, how you didn't make this, how you couldn't be this. It reminds me of all of these things from my past, and it puts these false obligations, these false pressures, these false thoughts on me, and I feel obliged. I feel like I owe my flesh something. I feel like if I don't do this, what if I'm missing out on something? If I don't accomplish this, if I don't walk this way, live this way, do this thing, what if I'm missing out? And we feel this obligation. We feel this pressure. Have you ever felt that pressure? Have you felt that obligation on yourself from the flesh? And it's just sort of there speaking to your brain. You're wondering, what in the world is going on right now? Why do I feel this? And Paul says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Because it's urging us to live this way. It's urging us to do these things. It's urging us to say, hey, you know what? When somebody's being a jerk to you, it's urging you to say, hey, well, you know, that wasn't right what they did. It's okay for you to talk about them. You ever felt that? Like, I have a right. And then there's something inside you is urging you to do these things. And then once you do it, have you ever felt so guilty? Because it's amazing, that voice inside you will urge you to do something, and then you do it because you think you'll feel better, and then how many of you, then it reminds you, look at how terrible you are. And you just want to turn around and flip off your flesh, right? Anybody like that? You're just like, this is ridiculous. I did what I thought was going to be the good thing, because the voices in my head said, do it, and then you do it, and then it's like, look at what you just did. You're like, wait a minute, I thought the same voice that told me to do it is now telling me that I'm a terrible person. God says, you don't owe your flesh anything. It reminds me of this movie. There's this movie called Sahara with Matthew McConaughey. He's in it. You know, he's just a cool guy until he lost all that weight and did that one movie where he looked like a skinny skeleton. I don't feel like he's been the same ever since. Poor guy. He's just not as, like, buff and, you know, the guy that you just look on, man, if I could just be like him or Thor, that would be the life. But my wife loves me for me. She loves me for me. But I remember in this movie, and these two guys, the main characters of the movie, they get stuck in this place in Africa. And their boss goes to his friend. He says, hey, I need you to help get my friends out. He goes, I'm not going to help. He goes, hey, remember how I helped you when we were in the military? He goes, yeah. He goes, you owe me. Our flesh does that. Our flesh says, you owe me. But Paul says this. Paul says, you don't owe your flesh anything. So how do we deal with our flesh? Paul tells us in verse 13. He says, put it to death. Put it to death. This idea of putting it to death, the word means to mortally wound. It has the idea of this murder, this killing that's not just like a simple stab, but it's the idea of this brutal killing, this destroying of your flesh, this annihilating it. Paul says you have to put it to death, but not just once.